Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Adloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief, as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey Griefsters, thank you so much for joining us this week. If you have been enjoying the show, perhaps you would like to see a live version. I have another Griefcast Live coming up at Dulwich Pitch Gallery on November the 16th. They have a new exhibition of Ribera paintings opening at the gallery. He was very much associated with death and pain, so they've asked me to come and record a Griefcast Live right next door to the exhibition. So if you do buy a ticket to the Griefcast Live, you can also go and see the Ribera exhibition as well. He was apparently a world leader in paintings of people being flayed alive. So I don't know, maybe that's something we can all discuss. Or you can just join myself and Stevie Martin from the Nobody Panic podcast, Jeff Lloyd from Reasons to be Cheerful, and Sophie Duker from Channel 4's Riot Girls having some cheery chats about death. We might cover flaying, who knows. Head to the Dulwich Pitch Gallery website for more details on how to book tickets. And if you're looking for more cheery things on grief and death, which I'm sure you are because you listen to the Griefcast, I am also in a play at the Finborough Theatre in London called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Gynecological Oncology Unit at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Centre of New York City. Yes, that's the full title. It's a dark comedy set in a cancer ward and very much like Griefcast, covers the topic of grief, death and dying very frankly and in a very funny way. It's playing from October 2nd to the 27th at the Finborough Theatre in London, and head to their website for more details. This week's episode is a live episode. We recorded this at King's Place at the amazing London Podcast Festival just a few weeks ago. I was joined by No Such Things as Fishes' Andrew Hunter-Murray, Edinburgh Comedy nominee Dane Baptiste, and Throwing Shade and Feminasty author Erin Gibson. As ever, we chat grief, death, and where best to spread your ashes.
Hi gang, hi griefsters, how are you? Guys, I know it's about death, but we have to give more than that. We didn't die, okay? So we have to be like, how are you doing? Yeah, good. Oh, thank you so much for coming. Oh, it's much, much appreciated. Do you listen to the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you in the club?
Yes.
Can't hear it. Yes. Yeah, so we have a shout for the DDCs. Woo! Just a few of us in tonight. We'll be drinking wine in the corner. I guess it's about my dad, really. DMCs? Ooh, oh, you are. Everyone's being shy. Don't be shy, guys. This is the Less Fun Club in the DDC and the DMC. Oh, wherever you are, find me at the end and I will give you a nice badge. I will give you the good badge. I see you. I'll give you the good badge. You get it. You got to get something. People say don't use it, but come on. We've all used it. We've all used it occasionally. Why not? Look, we have pain enough. We should be able to get free stuff.
Yes.
Yes. I got out of detention. We all got, I've told this on this podcast before, we were all got caught smoking, leaving the school. And then they were like really angry. And I was like, oh, which is true. This is true. It was true. So I used it, but it was true. And I was like, oh, it's my dad's anniversary. And then they let everyone else, no, everyone else got detention. They were like, oh, just go home. But then the next day at school, everyone was like, why did you go home? Like, we all got busted. And I was like, I don't know. I was so embarrassed that I'd used it. Now I feel shamed as if you're all judging me. That's fine. So thank you for coming. We've got some amazing guests waiting back there who are going to just sit and have some chats about grief and death. And basically, it's just a nice, fun chat, you know, like the show, but a little bit less intense. Because we'll just be, it's lighter than the actual show. Once you hear what we're talking about, and if you haven't listened to the show, you'll be thinking, what the fuck is the show? Jesus. It's like whenever I explain it to someone, they're like, that sounds, I don't want to listen. And you're like, I know you don't. But you will die, so you should. Okay, so my first guest I'm going to bring on, he's an amazing stand-up. He was nominated for the Edinburgh Comedy Award in 2014. He's been touring the UK very recently and will be continuing to tour it with an amazing stand-up show, G.O.D. He starred in his own sitcom for the BBC. He is amazing. He is Dane Baptiste, everybody. Thank you. This feels like Parkinson suddenly, sorry. Not Parkinson's, that's a different show. Our next guest is an Emmy-nominated writer and podcaster. She's the co-host of the extremely funny Throwing Shade, which is on after us in the bigger room. She's the creator of Game of Thrones web series with Jonathan Van Ness. And she has a new book coming out very soon called Feminasty, which is basically incredible. And she is Erin Gibson, everybody! Yay! Yay! Thank you. My final guest is a member of the extraordinarily successful podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. They toured the world. They sold out the Sydney Opera House. I know it's not going to happen. Not that many people want to talk about death, so it's fine. I'm not jealous in any way. He's a QI elf. He's a regular on BBC Two's The Mash Report. And he's also a member of the very successful and fun, real fun thing to do, Ostentatious, the improvised Jane Austen show. He is Andrew Hunter-Murray! Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Everyone looks depressed already.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we okay?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my pigtails out of my mic.
Oh, you wrapped Did yourself it. Up. You done it.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
My curling iron caught on fire today, so.
Yeah, Erin's curling iron. It's American. She plugged it in and it caught on fire. Is that normal? No. Someone was like, yeah. No.
It was
no.
Exhilarating. So close to death.
Yes. It's like you've got to get your fixes where you can.
Yes.
Exactly. So listen, Andy, how do you feel about death? Are you somebody who's like,
I'm against it.
You're against it.
Broadly.
Some people haven't listened to the show and they think, it's light chat. Carrie had said light chat. No, straight in there. Like, are you someone who worries about it?
I didn't until maybe a year ago.
Ooh.
And then just I found myself being very tired all the time. And I thought, oh, this is an early, this is like a little preview, like a teaser trailer, you know.
Death is not just being tired.
Well, no, I guess not.
It's a little bit worse.
Well, the thing is, I took up jogging last year.
You know the man now, who invented jogging?
Yes.
He died jogging, didn't he?
Right,
yes,
he did.
Yes, he died jogging.
Is that the same marathon guy? Because he died too.
Maybe.
And people still do it. They still do it.
My dad ran a lot of marathons, and then they said that's partly why he died so quick, because he was so healthy. Straight in there, start of the show, let's go.
Wait, I don't understand the logic.
Because his metabolism was so fast and so healthy, and he had cancer. So they were like, that might have been one of the reasons that he died so fast.
I feel like might is never never a good response
from
a doctor.
It's my dad, it's fine, we can laugh. I'm laughing, so you quit, it's okay.
Yeah.
You see, when I laugh, it's all right. Still nervous, the DDC are with me, that's fine.
So they said, so the doctors were like, if anything, or the oncologists were like, if anything, Yeah. He was too healthy.
Yes.
Which is never a good way to give people closure.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. That's
the worst autopsy I've ever heard.
But it's funny because I was talking to someone whose mum died of lung cancer, but she was a smoker. Mm. And she was saying, whenever she tells people, they're like, and did she smoke? And then she says yes. And they're like, oh. Because they think, oh, yeah, good, I won't die. Because I don't smoke.
But also, then, if she deserved it or something.
Yeah, it's like this weird, like, oh, she smoked. Oh, okay. But when I say, no, he was really healthy, it's really uncomfortable, as you can see, because people are like, what? What do you mean? That's not what they promised. But you've taken up jogging, is the point.
And it just, that is.
So you're going to be fine.
Sorry, it wasn't, it now sounds like it was apropos of nothing. I just wanted to say I've taken up jogging. Yeah. I sort of meant it. I know what death must feel like a bit, because it feels so bad every time I go
awful.
Jogging.
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, but I appreciate it's worse.
But you're not someone who has like anxiety about death?
No.
Oh, that must be amazing. What's that like? You don't always think you're going to die in every situation.
No. And wow. I feel like this is a tough crowd for that.
Yeah, I know. But it's good for us to know that other people are different. It's good for us.
I don't worry about it on a daily basis.
Wow.
No.
Wow, right?
Oh, no. But one thing I do know, I do find myself thinking, if I start reading a new long book, I find myself thinking, this is probably the last time I will read this book. Because I used to love rereading books a lot of times. And now I find myself thinking, I've got maybe like one more read of Wuthering Heights in me. And I think a lot of life is about sort of being all right with that, and I'm absolutely fine with it, you know.
I don't think you need to read it more than once. It's a great book, but I think it's done.
I'm never going to read Moby Dick.
Don't.
Yeah.
No. It's fine.
Anyone in here read it?
You don't sound happy about it.
Did you want to read it? Were you forced to read it?
Made to.
Nobody's like, oh, this looks interesting. Oh, a whale, you say.
Erin, do you think about death constantly?
Every day.
Oh, great.
I used to, when I was starting out doing comedy in LA, I used to wear a lot of scarves for no reason. Los Angeles is not a place that you would do that. No. I just thought I looked like a fun accountant who works for Aerosmith or something. I don't know. Like dorky, but also like, I'm kind of cool. And I used to be worried that someone would choke me with my own scarf.
Oh yeah, Isadora Duncan?
Yes, exactly.
If you don't know the story, she was a famous dancer and she was driving along in her convertible and her scarf got caught.
I think she was getting out of the car.
Oh, I was imagining her driving. Anyway, it killed her.
Caught in the wheel arch.
I know. So be careful with your scarves.
I didn't even know that story until after the anxiety then it just reinforced it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Evidence of the proof that you need the anxiety.
Yes. Mm. Validate your brain going into tornado cycle and then like keeping you up for 3 hours.
Oh, great.
Past 11.
But is that why you stopped wearing scarves, or was it a fashion reason?
I didn't look great in them. also, they don't go well with tank tops, so that's just a bad look overall. Airplanes every time.
Oh,
I have to take Xanax.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't knock me out either, because I have so much anxiety that Xanax just like makes me normal.
This is what happened. My therapist keeps saying to me, you know, you just need to have an ordinary level of anxiety. And I'm like, as if someone's been drunk their whole life and you're saying be sober. You're like, well, what would it be? I don't understand.
Well, thankfully in LA, we have legalized marijuana.
Oh.
So my freezer is full of it.
Right.
And it's the only time I feel I don't worry about
anything.
Death, money, what I look like.
Wow.
What I'm eating. Whether or not my dog has taken a poop today, which gives me so much anxiety because I need him to do his business before I can do whatever I need to do for the day.
Yeah. It's the same with the baby.
Yeah.
She did two this morning. We were like, oh, day done. We don't need to worry about it. Honestly, it was like, and I said to him, you're gonna have a good day. Because he had it. I was like, she done two, we're done.
But I do think, I write a lot about gender politics, so I always think about whether or not these anxieties fall on gender lines, because women are disproportionately more likely to be victims of crime. Mm. And so I wonder if a lot of my anxiety is justified.
From actual facts.
Especially because gender politics dictate, they'd be like, well, she was wearing a scarf.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. She deserved it.
Probably hiding some hickeys under there.
She's wearing a scarf she got in a car.
Yeah, well,
I don't know
go.
What she was thinking.
There you go.
Dane, do you worry about it?
Death?
Yeah.
I am a black entertainer over the age of 30, so... all the time. But in saying that, since I started doing comedy, I'm not afraid of death. I used to have a lot more of a neurosis about it, but... I feel like now, because I'm doing what I want to do with my life, so I don't dread it as much. So for me, it was more like, not so much the fear of death, but it was more like a life unfulfilled that used to make me more anxious. So it's inevitable.
What were you doing before comedy?
Sales.
And did you have a nightmare of like, I'm going to die, and they'll go, he was a salesman.
Right,
and then there's a play about it.
exactly. Exactly. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it doesn't end well for him either.
Yeah.
To be fair.
But it was just that kind of thing. It was just got to a point where there was a lot of, cyclical routines I had, whether it was like renewing a car or getting a new phone. And I was just like, it's just so pointless and no way to kind of, how to make my life distinct from everyone else's. Doing something.
So then when you started doing comedy, you just felt like, well, now if I die, at least I tried.
At least I tried, yeah. Because like I said, it was more of a, I still have those deathbed regrets and I suppose all of the other kind of obligations most people have in life, whether it's like family and raising children, I didn't want to be one of these, you should do this because I never had the chance and project that onto my kids. So at least now I can be a lot more relaxed about the whole thing. So
what advice are you going to give them in the future? You're just like, stay in sales for as long as you can.
Well, yeah, and up until the point you can't take anymore. Oh, but with kids, it's just like, you know, you might as well do what you want because death is the one set. And my dad would say stuff to me like, you know, death and taxes are the only certainties in life. So I'd be like, okay, fair enough. Should probably do something then.
And pay those taxes.
And also pay my taxes.
This show's not anti-tax, guys. I don't want any more. I was a temp for a long time and I worked every job. Oh my God. Like, I worked in an investment bank during the crash. I worked for a pharmaceutical company that sold Viagra. You know, like, I just, like, horrible, bizarre jobs.
Can I ask a question about the Viagra one?
Sure.
Because initially, Viagra was supposed to help with, like, heart disease.
I mean, I worked on reception. Okay. I don't want to start
time,
giving that information.
I still feel like people would have been like, notice anything different about me?
What was weird was in the reception, they had loads of posters up for advertising Viagra, but it was always like a bit like the tampon ads of like, you know, women like running on the beach, but it was like men eating pizza, like eating a really big, being like really happy, and I'd have to work in front of like, you know, a 6 foot six by 6 foot advert of a man eating pizza.
Could you see below his waist?
No, it was like a close up of his face and he was eating pizza and underneath it was like Pfizer. Viagra from Pfizer and it was like, yeah.
Taste your own erection.
It's really weird.
That's bizarre.
It was really, Yeah. Wow. So, Andy, do you want to die jogging? You don't want to die jogging, surely. That's not the way to go.
No, I don't think it would be. I would like to die in a way that someone who has just been rude to me thinks it was their fault. I really like that.
Okay. Can we have an example? Like, what we're talking, like a really rude or like just like a British annoying rude?
Someone was rude, what an anecdote this is. Someone was slightly rude to me on a tennis court a week ago. And
in case you weren't sure where Andy sat on the social scale, he's also going to Tuscany soon. And someone was rude to him on a tennis court. Now you know.
And I was so angry. We had booked an hour, right? 11 till 12, fine, lovely. And we were having a great time, really fun. And, you know, it's just a great sport. It's really good for exercise. Anyway, these guys turned up on the side of the court, maybe a group of five people, and this is about 7 minutes to the hour, and they just start chatting away. And they're right on the edge of the court. And I can't serve very well at the best of times.
I'm furious, I don't know about you. This is the kind of behavior that, ruining our country.
It's so rude to be right there. It's someone's like,
I don't know tennis etiquette, I don't know.
Well, this might not be politically correct to say, but they sound like ne'er-do-wells.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So far as to say, maybe malcontents. Yeah. That's how had to be said.
Would you say they looked like ne'er-do-wells?
Yeah, they looked so upstanding and so respectable. I hated them so much. Okay. And so they were just standing there chatting really loud, completely ruining the last few minutes of our game. And if I could have died there after a minor chat with them and in my dying breath told them, you're really rude people, just in the hope that would stay with them until they died. I'd like that to be the last thing they think of when they're dying.
We should never have talked at the edge of the park. Brenda, fetch a priest.
That would be amazing.
That's how I'd like to go.
Now we know. That's good. Erin, do you have any, like, do you know how you want to go?
I want to do drugs until I die. I don't do any drugs. I take Xanax on the plane, but I'm not like a hardcore. Yeah. I mean, pot doesn't count. It's alcohol, basically. But I want to do, I've never done acid or mushrooms or ecstasy. And when I'm in a nursing home, do you call them nursing homes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I'm in a nursing home, I want to do all the drugs all the time.
Wow.
And I want to die going out like in a hallucinogenic, like euphoric, like mescaline haze.
That would be cool.
I think what a great time to start doing party drugs.
Yeah. Also, because like, imagine like, you'd see some old lady, and then she'd start floating, and like the carpet would start swirling, and there'd be a lot to take in.
I just want to be taken out of reality. Yeah, during that time.
Yeah, if you get to the nursing home, why not? Yeah. My parents did so. My mum gets really annoyed, but they did so many drugs. So like my mom would be like, oh, well, you know, the thing is with the drugs now, Carrie, is they're not pure. In my day, you know what you're getting. And then she'd be like, when your dad took LSD and we drove around London, like that was like, my dad used to take LSD and then get on his motorbike and drive around London. Safe, right? I mean, he did have a motorbike accident, but years later, not connected. So then for me, I've also never done them because to me, they were so like, ugh, like, what would mum and dad do? Like, really boring.
That was your rebellion?
I was like, I'm not going to do it.
I'll smoke one cigarette, yeah.
Well, I know, I did the cigarettes. Went to town. Not the drugs. But I'm the same. I've always wanted to take LSD just to see what my parents got up to.
Oh, you guys are in luck now.
How do you want to go, Dane?
How do I want to go? A few scenarios. I just don't want to go in any kind of way as depicted in a John Singleton film, so no drive-bys.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. They happen a lot. So, because I grew up in the 90s when like the films were quite big, so it was like Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society. So had a complex for a long time, just going to be dying a drive-by. And then that passed. Cars were just hard to come by my peers, so I was fine. Insurance is very high. And I feel like it would either be like in a, like, you know, like a drug-fueled haze as well. But I'd rather be in the nursing home. I'd rather be like out on a beach and maybe just do like a shitload of DMT or ayahuasca, and then have that reach that kind of, you know, that kind of apex of consciousness, and then just have that out-of-body experience and then just leave.
And then just go.
Or I get a bunch of people and then we go into like the World Bank with all the servers and then I just detonate it. And then just eliminate all of world debt.
Right.
And then just go out like Tony Montana doing the Scarface.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's how Scarface ended.
I just know it didn't end well.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just me, and then just like, I'm like, now we start again, and no one is judged by the content of their pocket. And then it's like all private military contractors. I'm like, come on, Dan, I'm off my face on DMT.
You're still on DMT in this scenario?
Yeah.
I think it's featuring.
So
are you going to clear the space so it's just you?
Yeah, the people that helped me with
it. I'm worrying about security guard three.
I don't want to bring anybody down with me.
Okay,
so yeah,
okay.
But the idea is that, I just eliminate either world debt
or.
So it's going to be an act of either, like, you know.
These are all quite filmic endings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, my life is a film and I don't want to let anybody down, so.
You're the main audience,
yeah.
So you don't want to let yourself down. You paid £10
exactly,
to see this.
Exactly, yeah, because it's going to flash before my eyes, so
yes,
I'm going to be like,
that's
yeah.
True.
So.
My worry is you take all those drugs and you get to the peak of consciousness and you get there and it's shit. Or like it's awful. Someone's like, oh, the meaning of life is never do this. And you're like, what? And they're like, you die. And you're like, no. Like that's my level of anxiety, that I would like take it, find Nirvana, and they'd be like, no, you shouldn't have done that. Nirvana was in cake. Go. That's why I live in cake. So when you go, Dane, what do you want your funeral? Are you particularly religious or like?
No, I was raised in a religious household. I imagine my mother would want it to be religious, but myself, now I'm going to be organ donor.
But you can do that and be religious, can't you?
Religions. Some people, but a lot of time when I discuss it with theologians, they always go, even your eyes? It's like, yeah, them too.
Really? What's wrong with the eye? Why have they got these eyes?
I don't know. Maybe
they're squeamish about the eye thing.
Because there's windows to the soul and stuff, but you know.
Maybe you're not, your soul's gone.
Right? Exactly. So I didn't know. I thought we were all okay with organs.
Maybe it's obscuring your face, like your family won't be able to see you off in the form that you. But then they're not harvesting organs before they do the funeral. So
I just think it's because no one really, you know, knows much about the organs inside them. But everyone knows where their eyes are, and if you.
Yeah.
if I could frequently touch my liver,
I'd need to pat mine and be like, I'm so sorry. I'm real sorry for the years of abuse.
So you wouldn't donate your eyes?
No, I would. I would. Sorry.
Let's get that on record
yes,
here.
I'd like to make it very clear.
You're happy to be an organ donor?
Very happy to donate everything.
Okay.
And if I have not checked the eye box, I've got filled in a card, but it's somewhere else. I don't carry it on me. Can this be the evidence?
Do they take? Sure. People listening, if it happens, they'll have this.
Podcast's sort of a testament?
You know what? There'll be legal tender in like 10 years,
I think.
Okay, yeah. That's two podcasts.
As will eyes. So maybe that's a good reason to hold on to them, is that there.
Drive-by so eye grabbing.
Exactly, so maybe keep my eyes and my liver for like a trust fund for, you know, and then I don't know, I suppose the proceeds can go towards like an orphanage if I don't have kids of my own.
Okay.
Then the idea is that I'd have like a funeral pie for the remainder of my body.
Right.
Flaming funeral pie.
Where's this? Like?
Where?
Like, where are we burning you?
Aim straight at the World Bank, baby.
Oh, so we have to carry you to the World Bank and burn you there?
Yeah, I mean, it's my last request, Carrie.
Okay.
After that, you know.
Right. Wait, is this the World Bank after you've taken it out? Or is this, are you having the funeral
So when the whole rebuilding initiative begins,
where they're like, you're going to do it again, so you're going to ruin the World Bank a second time.
Exactly. So when they're like, we're going to rebuild this idea of debt promissory notes and the fiat currency, we can begin. Oh,
And then we come in and we're like, burn him!
Yeah, again.
And he's dead. Yeah. This isn't weird. Yeah, his eyes are. We've taken his eyes. So yeah, we've taken everything. You're going to be like a little floppy bag of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to probably stretch more.
We just throw you on the pyre.
Yeah.
Erin, how do you want your funeral? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, I want to be cremated.
Yeah.
And I want to be disposed of. I don't like the idea of a body going into the ground.
Yeah, some people, it depends on your upbringing, I think. Were you brought up, but were you Catholic?
Catholic.
Oh, so
but now I'm anti-Catholic. Yeah.
That sounds equally as cool.
Like, oh yeah, it's so cool.
But is there an actual anti-Catholic church?
No, I don't. I'm going to start
Don't act like you don't think that's an amazing idea. Like, everyone would love that. And then they could do, like, films about reverse exorcisms when they put demons into people.
Yeah, that would be great.
And they're like, your children are safe.
Right?
Yeah. Too soon? It's been happening for hundreds of years. Episcopalian. I don't know what it's like here, but in the States, it's very progressive. I don't like organized religion. I just can't, it destroyed my family, is that fair to say?
No. Yeah. And your family would be okay with that? You wouldn't have to write it in the will or something?
No, I didn't have a wedding, I don't do performative celebrations with my family.
So you perform in your life, so you didn't need a little performance of your...
And I feel the same way about death, I just want to be, like... Also, funerals in the States are very expensive, so I'd rather people use that money to donate to women's organizations or something. That just seems like a waste.
So they're just going to take you to the crematorium, burn you, but no ceremony? You don't even want people to turn up and do like a little, oh, she was great?
Yeah, sure.
A little ceremony.
If they want to. It's about whatever they want to do.
You can't say that. Because I'd be like, well, I want to, but Erin was so against it. So how do I honor her without, you know, given money to all these women's shelters, but I want to say I liked her.
It's so weird. I'm so bad with like accolades and like
people. You don't even want people to stand up at a funeral and say she was great.
Cry on your own in a closet. Yeah. I mean, I can't like control people do when I'm dead. As much as I want to.
But you could request. So you have a crematorium and you get maybe a very, because you can have a really small cremation ceremony.
Yeah, I want to watch, like, so they watch my body burn?
Well, normally the old curtain goes around. Oh, and you hear like a, as the coffin goes like into the
Wait, thing. Oh, you go in with a coffin?
No. It's like, it looks like church. If you're just going for cremation, these guys not been to, let me tell you how you go into cremation.
No one in my family has been cremated.
Oh, okay, so it looks like a church. It looks like a super modern church, and there's even a lectern, and then a priest or the person running it, if you're not having a religious one, will talk, and then the coffin is there, and then sometimes the worst ones, like they just literally press a button and you hear the curtain go like, and my granny and granddad's, it got stuck and they like pulled it down. And then sometimes you see the coffins like go into a hole in the wall, or like they normally play a song when that happens, and like we all know they're going to get burnt. But it's sort of like there's not like flames coming out. We're like, oh, the hellfires.
It's not like back drive.
No. Yeah. So yeah, like it's you don't see it, but you kind of like you all know.
you know where it's going.
You know what's happening.
Yeah, you know what's happening. But also, that's cool because you've agreed to it. Like, you know, you're not like, wait, what? You're burning? Huh? That is not okay.
Have you read Mary Roach's book about death?
Oh, no. Yes.
Oh, it's this. Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. And that is one of the reasons that I don't want to be cremated, because she has a whole chapter on what happens to your body when it's in the coffin. And I was like, fuck.
That's why you want to be cremated or not?
Yes, because...
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go into too much graphic description, but it is upsetting what happens to your body when...
But sure, if you buried your parent and you're here, it's fine.
No, it's fine. Yeah. Don't ever read this book. But I just didn't... And this might be a control issue, but I would like to be like, okay, I'm dead. My body is taken care of. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's not like a beetle eating my nose. it's disturbing. I don't like to think about that.
I want to be cremated, but I'm sort of like, burial doesn't freak me out as much.
It used to freak me out, the idea as well. Not just the possibility of being a zombie. It was
not just.
But,
that.
But like I said, it's the decomposition and like the animal. But that's circle of life, though.
Yeah, I know. Like, right. Don't mind that.
You know, become a tree.
And to be honest, I've got a lot of bodies on me, like where insects are concerned. So it's the least I can do in death is to repay them with a sumptuous meal. if I weren't to be cremated. I need to do a video as well.
In
the event that I do leave like my kids, then I'll do like a shitload of videos, like for like milestone birthdays. So it'd be like, happy 18th, happy 21st, happy 30th, happy 40th. Like, this must be weird for you now because I haven't aged a day. But daddy still loves you. And then there's also a very, very long list of fuck yous.
Oh, that's good.
You have that, like, I want people to know I'm the same person. I'd be like, hey, the following people can go fuck themselves. And then a long
God,
list.
And you know that's never changing.
What if they're there at the funeral?
Even better, right. Then they can't hide it.
You just revenge for you.
Because people would be a lot more diplomatic and be like, you know, Dane, you know, you and Dane had your differences. But now it'd be truth. I've never fucking liked you. And it would be irrefutable evidence.
You know what, that would make a good, like, and if you've been to lots of funerals, that'd be good funeral chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Because some funerals, there's not much chat. Like, nothing happened. Exactly. It's quite dull. But that would be like, whoa,
Well, John McCain explicitly said Donald Trump wasn't allowed at his funeral.
Really?
Yeah.
He's on my list too, funnily enough.
John McCain?
No. Okay. John's cool.
Trump.
Trump.
Oh, my God. I never thought of that. Would you do a video for the funeral then? So that's what you want, video as well as the video for your kids?
So, yeah, there'd be two separate videos. I can't be like, hey, love you, kids. By the way,
mix-up with the tapes. The kids will be watching. Oh, I wonder what Dad had to say to us before he...
Fuck you!
There'll probably be a few outtakes as well.
Oh, you've got to have
the bloopers. Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
Yes.
Happy 16th, honey. Maybe you'll stop fucking leaving the ice trays unfilled, you fuck. Oh, wait, we're filming? Oh, I love you so much.
Blooper reel is a great idea. Mm, yeah. Andy, what are you thinking? Are you cremating or burial?
I don't really mind.
You guys, this is you have to make decisions, because when you die, someone else is going to have to make a decision.
Yeah.
And whenever someone goes, I don't mind, that means someone who loves you is going to sit there and go, did they want that?
So, okay, that's a really good point. So I would like the thing that creates least fuss. If there is a zero fuss option.
Okay. Yeah, you can have like a cardboard coffin.
But I'd love that. Or a paper bag, just a large paper bag would do me fine, and then...
That's a big paper bag.
It's a big... In fact, that would create fuss. I'm going to have to commission the building
of
an extra...
I'm going to have to find it. I'm going to have to measure you.
You're right.
Or I'm going to have to go to the market and get individual ones and then break them apart and then sellotape to make one giant one.
Yeah.
That sounds very mafioso.
Yeah, it does. What?
No one's going to... be putting a big paper bag.
Well, if you've got to stick ones back together and then...
Yeah, no, it's
true. Just get yourself a carpet or a rug in that case.
To be rolled up in a rug?
Yeah.
Oh, he's into it. He likes it.
It's low fuss, isn't it?
It's low fuss.
I think the lowest fuss is a cardboard coffin. Yeah. Or you can be wrapped in material. You can be wrapped in just like a shroud.
Or a rug. If I could take with me a rug I never liked. it's not all vengeance, I know. But I suppose, well, you want to do a few things, don't you? You want the people who you've left behind you to... You know, it's their experience that matters in a big way.
It's for them, really.
Yeah, so whatever would allow them, if anybody wanted to remember you by, or, you know, whether that's a pack of, you know, the ashes or the remains, and you can have that in a, you know, the urn thing, or whether it's to be scattered anywhere that they might be able to find meaning in.
So you're going to give little pouches to how many people?
No, God, no, 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 no.
Everyone gets an egg cup? What, like?
I'd worry about that, because I'd worry that no one would want an egg cup. And and also, an egg cup is a very unreliable, you know, that's a very unwieldy, unstable way of... Would it have
you
a
out?
Cling film lid on top?
Are you talking about the thing that you put hard-boiled eggs in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Egg cup. What do you call them?
Egg cup. But yeah. In my mind, I was like, this is not what
this
I think
is
it is.
This is
something else.
It must be a funny British thing
just
they do.
Just be like, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. For the funeral.
So the ashes, normally, like, you know, your beloved will pick up your ashes.
Yeah.
And then sometimes between brothers and sisters, it's like split up. Or sometimes one person takes it, depending on, you know, how old you are when it dies. So do you know where you want to be scattered?
No idea.
No idea?
Court 4 at the...
You're going to make them do it, the person who was rude to you.
No.
They'll scatter your ashes.
No special preference. I suspect somewhere outdoors, but I've not narrowed it down further than that.
Yeah, otherwise you're just being hoovered up pretty fast.
Absolutely, yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Griefcast with Carrie Adloyd.
When my aunt died, everyone in my family, I'm from an Irish Catholic family, and everyone did like a tight five set of jokes. Nobody's a stand-up, but amazing. Everyone's like, I'm funny. And my mom got up and started doing really like, I mean, not good jokes. And she was like, of course there's 12 people in my 12 brothers and sisters. So she got up there and I told her, I was like, I'm going to give you a cue if I think that you're not understanding that the audience isn't with you, because no one else is going to do that. Save you.
Yeah.
So she was up there for 5 minutes and I was like, wrap it up, wrap it up. And then she was like, okay, Aaron says I can't be up here anymore. And I was like, don't do that. That's the wrong move. But I said to her afterwards, I was like, you know, being sad is important.
Yeah.
When you laugh and you're having a great time, and when someone's dead or died who you love, that's a perfectly fine way to cope, but you have to balance it out with sadness. You got to be sad. It'll come out some other way, and I don't think of a better... I mean, having your family around and just commiserating with the grief is so... I would just think is more comforting than sitting and crying in the closet by yourself. Yeah. But then 4 hours later, what happens is my Uncle Phil gets wasted on whiskey and then overturns my grandma's china cabinet. And you're like, well, that's because you didn't cry earlier.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, because you got to get it out. Yeah, a lesson of the podcast, you got to get it out. I think it's important to have the humor side. But you don't want it to feel like you're in a comedy club at a funeral.
No.
Is that how it kind of like, people were like, oh, I'm on next, I'm nervous.
Oh yeah, it was exactly, they were like looking at their notes and like, okay, remember to do the punchline here. And I'm like, your sister died.
Yeah, it's okay.
Like, this is sad, it's okay. Also, this is taking too long. Yeah. Especially if everybody gets a turn. That's
oh, they were all taking turns.
Yeah.
They had to have their moment. I was like, oh, this is about you now?
So what are we thinking music-wise, Dane?
I have a list.
Dane's got a list. It's good. This is good because, as I always say on the show, it's going to happen. Yeah. So it's nice to be prepared.
Let's see. All right. There's a few of them. There'll be like a playlist.
Are you going to set it up on Spotify?
Yeah.
Like a little Spotify playlist?
Yeah. You will get the premium Spotify so it's not interrupted by adverts. Good.
That's right.
I'm looking taking for care something of to my do future, this summer.
Don't you worry. That's it. It's in my will. Someone buy that.
Yeah.
Looking for You by Kirk Franklin. That's one.
Oh.
And Optimistic by Sounds of Blackness. I Will Get There by Boys to Men. Fuck the Police by N.W.A. The Light by Common and Joyful Joyful by Lauryn Hill.
Oh, that's a great one.
Great. In case there's no tearjerker, because that will get him going. And then Tupac, Keep Your Head Up. That's just a list of some of them.
That was popular.
Yeah.
That was popular with the crowd.
Yeah, and because, you know, because like I said, like, same as these guys, my family massively internalized grief.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when the drinks start flowing.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, it's fine. I don't have feelings at all. Yeah, I'll just drink more. That's what Dane would have wanted to
do. That's when you're going to bust out Lauryn Hill, do you think?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Lauryn Hill, yeah.
Because she just makes you, that voice just makes you cry straight away.
Exactly. So.
That's good. You've really thought about that because you do want a bit of uplift. But then good to make sure you get, because I've been to some where there's too much jolly music. And you do want a moment.
Yeah.
But equally, you don't want, like, you know, 4 hours of Coldplay. Like, you want.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, oh, you know what I mean? It's like a good film. Like, sometimes if you walk into a funeral and it's straight away sad, I'm a bit like, I feel manipulated.
Well, yeah, no, I don't want it to be straight away sad. It's like I said, yeah. It's a regular Spotify premium playlist. And and just really setting the tone of, and it's doing more than an anthology of my life. So people are like, oh, this song reminds me of when we were this age together at this age. So just says,
Could you have videos between the music?
Yeah, of course.
So like, as in you, that's when you're like, hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the track.
Yeah.
This me, like you could explain it.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe I'll put a needle here and be like, fuck, anyway, and then bring it back.
Yeah.
So it'd go well with the fuck you list.
Yeah, yes.
So this song's dedicated to a season of exes. No, you don't, widow. You're my favorite. And then,
she would feel so special. Yeah. Oh, he remembered me in the video.
Yeah.
Oh, we were really in love.
Yeah.
But I think that's really good. It's good to have, like, so I've said this before in the podcast. My dad once said to me in the car, again, I can laugh. A song came on and he was like, I want this played at my funeral. I was like, yeah, yeah. And then, like, later when he died, I was like, fuck, what was that song? Did not remember. Honest, and I have no idea what it was. But then my mum choked. Well, he said one to my mum, so he had a Frank Zappa song. And that was, and we had the funeral in a church, which was like the family church that we always went to. So that was very cool, having this, like, extremely psychedelic Peaches and Regalia. It's like 7 minutes long. Oh, yeah. It's a really good instrumental Frank Zappa track playing in a church. So it's like, but I think we also had a bit of Jerusalem in there, you know, like, you know, something for everybody, something for his parents, and also something for the kids. Andy, what have you got thoughts about your music?
Every so often I think of something and I think, oh, I'd love that to play. And often, I don't know if this happens to any of you guys, but if you're ever hosting something and you have a playlist of songs, someone else will interfere with the playlist. And this really does feel like the last chance to make people like the music I like. I feel I've come across as quite petty this evening, but there are a few tracks that I really want people to enjoy. Is it Mozart's Requiem? There's a the eighth part of that is the Lacrimosa.
Sure.
It's very sad and very beautiful, and I really love it, and it's something that I think about. It's something I listen to if I'm thinking about people who died in my life. I want to pass that to the people who might be remembering me as.
So you'd be like, this worked for me.
Yeah.
This might work for you.
Yeah, something I found sort of beautiful and meaningful, I suppose.
Yeah, a bit of Mozart. I don't know the track, but immediately Mozart's Requiem, I feel like, yeah, that sounds good for a funeral, doesn't it? It's got funeral written right across
anything,
it.
Anything Requiem.
Yeah.
If you died of a drug overdose, Requiem for a Dream.
The soundtrack.
good soundtrack.
The soundtrack. Would you want it like, because, you know, as the coffin goes away, do you want...
I think an extended version of the countdown clock would be... Because people are used to it ending after about 30 seconds or 40 seconds, but I think a 5-minute version and set the treadmill to very slow.
Can you imagine every time it was like da 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 da? It's still going. The countdown is from a. Do you have countdown?
No, but I got it.
Yeah,
great. It was not an egg cup situation. Yeah, right.
Which was the same. Which was actually the same. Erin, have you had plans for the music?
I want to see what I can get away with. Similarly, but just kind of forcing. I like a lot of different kind of music, so yeah. I would want to put Hank Williams Jr.,
ooh,
Whitney Houston.
Oh, a bit of Whitney.
And Nirvana together.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And be like, deal with this schizophrenic music taste. I mean, because I like everything. And
yeah,
so
same.
I want to have
same.
It resonate. And I think there's definitely like through lines with a lot of those three artists' music with like, you know, really tapping into sadness and grief, but some of them in a way that is a little more like dances around the sadness.
Like, is Whitney going to be your sad or your dance? Because she can do both.
I mean, I'm not even joking. I cried in an Uber because the Uber driver was playing I Believe the Children Are Our Future. And she was singing it. And then I started singing it. And I was like, this is the most magical day I've ever had in my life. And when we got to the chorus, Greatest Love of All, and it's about your self-esteem. I'm going to start crying. It's about your self-esteem and how you are your own well of that.
Yeah.
We were just weeping.
Gosh.
And I was like, that's a great funeral
song.
Yeah.
That is good.
It has every message in it.
Well, I'm thinking of like a whole theme of like doing like my funeral's more like an afterlife festival. And I got like these fake.
Wow.
Nice,
like,
nice.
And then, so you'll get wristbands. And then, but then there's like these fake posters of like everyone that appears. So we all know that 2016 was basically a celebricide. And so everyone that passes away, like all of your favorite people are coming, all appearing. And then it's like in the comedy tent, Dame Baptiste. But you can't see it yet. But you keep your wristband and we'll meet again. And that's how.
Oh, that's nice.
That's the theme of my funeral. Nice.
Yeah. That's nice. What food are you going to serve? Is it going to be the food truck? I feel like
No, it'd definitely be a food. I mean, it'd be a drink truck.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm immediately worrying about the food.
Are we still in the smoking ruins of the World Bank?
What a place to have a festival. That starts
exactly.
a new society
so where,
right
where
there.
Where all of that, you know, well-appropriated wealth lies in the smoldering ashes. A festival celebrating
and you know those,
life and death.
Yeah. Those food trucks turn up anywhere. Like
right?
they could pitch up in the smouldering remains of the World Bank, no problem.
I think it'd be a bad thing for me to destroy the World Bank and then charge people to eat.
Oh, okay.
So there'll be some kind of buffet there and stuff. Or okay. Maybe we get the donations from the Afterlife Festival and then we just distribute that to a shitload of soup kitchens. I'm trying
nice.
To hedge all my bets for the afterlife,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So, any opportunity for something, you know, for some kind of altruism. I don't. I mean, we've gone for ghosts. Because I've seen very few black ghosts. and I think that's well, yeah. And Erin, I feel like this is because of the social climate in the States, for example, where the idea of a black guy being able to do what he wants and walk through walls without being able to be shot is too much for people to handle. So never see any black ghosts. And also the idea that, you know, if you do care about your loved ones and stuff, like the idea that they still have to walk on earth after they're at peace, I think it's kind of our selfishness that we want to keep people around. And
yeah, I always feel sorry for ghosts.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, I don't know, I don't.
And it's weird that like no one seems to, it's either that you get like a ghost kit where you still have to dress in Victorian
always regalia, Victorian
or dress like, you know, an evil spirit that lives in a well in Japan. Like, no one's ever like, I saw this ghost, what were they wearing? Moon boots.
Andy, do you have any thoughts about last words? Because I feel like you're someone who definitely cares about words.
You very much, yeah. I've not given it any thought.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Well, are you asking if I've got a quip lined up?
Do you have a quip?
No, like I'm just catchphrase, having like a sitcom catchphrase.
Because firstly, yeah. I wouldn't like to spoil it by saying it now if I did have one.
That's true. It would be a spoiler.
Everyone will say, oh, well, he had that back when he was 30, so it would...
Yeah.
And the context will change so much. And
it's
going to be very contextual, you know. It really depends on the circumstances.
It's all right. You don't have to give me your last words now.
No.
I was just wondering. Because I do think that there's a lot... If you go on the internet and you like type last word, like the last words always seem... Like anyone I've seen dying is just like...
like there's no, they can't say, here's my great quip,
Dan,
you know?
Dan Schreiber, who you and I know, is a comedian and a colleague of ours, he found out recently about Roald Dahl's last words and his death. And his family were around his bedside. He was pretty elderly when he died. And his family were here, and his nurse was there as well. And he said, look, I just want to say to you all that, you know, the meaning I've had and the wonderful life I've had is thanks to you people. And I'm so happy to be here, and I love you all. And he slipped away into unconsciousness, and the nurse gave him a shot of, I think it was morphine to help him on his way, but she slightly botched the injection. He woke up and went, oh, fuck, and then died. So.
That is perfect. That is life. That's real life
that sort of is, yeah.
That's a phrase you can carry with you throughout life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe something that sums up the slightly absurd comedy.
That's amazing.
Life. Yeah.
Erin, do you want, have you got any last words that you think you're like, that's what I want?
Might be impactful.
Or like, yeah, you just, or even, you know what, even fake last words that your friends will spread. Do you know what she said just before she died?
She said, never wear red lipstick or something like insane. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
scarves didn't suit me. And they don't suit you, Susan. Something like that. Yeah. And then boom. Mic drop.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Is that it? You can have that.
Yeah, just a real shitty cut down to another woman who doesn't deserve it.
She died as she lived.
You know, I don't plan on having any children. I wonder who's going to be around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wonder who's going to be around.
Well, you're in the nursing home and you're off your tits on acid.
Yeah.
So you might say anything.
An alien god is fucking me in my mouth right now. Or something.
Insane. And the nurses are like, gotta stop giving her that LSD. I told you, Marjorie, she's taken too much. I want to tell you about some horrible deaths. Funny horrible deaths. No, because normally we do last words, but actually I was thinking this happened, I mean, okay, people died, obviously it's awful, but it's amusing. The Boston molasses disaster, do you know about this, Andy? I feel like
I've
know.
Heard of it.
Of 1919, killed 21 people and hurt 150 when a tank holding more than 1 million gallons of molasses exploded. This blast sent a sticky wave through the city at a speed of 35 miles an hour. Now, I've always wanted to die by eating too much chocolate. And I thought molasses, I mean, that's, imagine it, but the last thing you taste, so good. I thought it was quite a fun way to go, just me. Okay.
Because in my head, it's like preserved like in Pompeii, and they're like—
Oh yeah, no, I don't think they were, sadly.
Okay, then it's very sad.
They'd be really, really sticky and probably quite fluffy by now. You know, when anything sticky just gathers dust.
And yeah.
Yeah. William Snyder of Cincinnati died in 1854. His death certificate said he was killed by being swung round the heels by a circus clown. Nightmare!
I'm sorry. Yes. No stories end well with clowns. I don't know why I'm acting surprised. No one's ever like, then a clown came out and everyone was like, hey!
Yeah.
Never happened.
A clown?
Never happened.
Why was the clown spinning him?
Because I bet I know why.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I bet he was a short person or something.
Oh,
I bet, you know what
yes.
I mean? He probably had some...
Yeah, you're right.
Something going on or a disability. It's probably much sadder than we think.
No, I think it's really sad, but I imagine like just some kid in the audience being like, spin me! And then them just... And I mean, that's awful.
It sounds like a flashback for a DC character.
This is a nice one for me. In 1975, Alex Mitchell from King's Lynn, Norfolk, laughed so hard at the Ecky Thump episode of hit BBC comedy The Goodies, he died of heart failure. His widow later wrote to the stars of the show to thank them for making her husband's last minutes so happy. Aww. That's nice to die laughing.
I think that would be a fabulous way.
Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah.
Something
so funny that you just die.
Watching Friends or...
I love this episode. This is where Ross and Rachel really get together.
I feel like in a post... social media era, though, it's going to be like, I didn't think that episode was that funny. I was like, oh, once the obituary comes out.
Die being a troll.
Yeah, so yeah. That would be good.
Would you like that, Andy, to die laughing?
Yeah, that would be...
On the tennis court laughing at your your people who wronged you?
Laughing... Because, again, it's sort of about the other... As soon as you die, it really is all about the other people.
Yeah. You know,
in a way that's not as little upsetting for anyone else as possible.
Yeah.
We're back to the no fuss paper bag, unfortunately. But
which is, I feel like we've got the opposite, because Dane's like making people organise a festival. And you're like, but just it's all, really put it's me also out with the bins.
But it's also for the people.
Yeah.
And at the end,
no, totally.
My final words are, I left all of my money in...
Oh, the gold is in the... Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's always good, because even though people would be like, he was joking, was he?
Exactly.
And then they might start looking.
And then I'm like, the clue is in the wristbands.
And it's a whole podcast. Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
I would love to do that. Sort of say, you know, the treasure is hidden in the... But you'd have to time it so carefully.
Yeah.
Because what if you then have another 5 minutes... And you've stopped, and they say, we can see you're still here in the way.
That would be so funny.
There isn't any treasure, is there? Yeah. No.
Oh, and then a really awkward, like, just everyone being like, doo, doo, doo. Yeah. And then like, I think he's died.
Yeah, and you can hear me going,
yeah.
The other thing is about, you know, I like leaving parties quite early.
Sure.
You know.
Me too.
Often the first to arrive. And frequently the first to leave. And there is a sense that if you've got friends, you know, if you have friends who you still like and you've got a family you see, it's to die before them is if you've reached an advanced age, you're almost lucky to have people around you.
You know,
people live so long these days that frequently you know, all your friends might have died, and then
my
grandfather is 95.
Wow.
And he's in that situation.
Wow.
And it's like, I mean, it's heartbreaking for sure to see, because he's scared, you know? I think being that old, I don't really want it, you know?
I know, my grandma lived to 100, and it just was like, and everyone goes, oh, good genes. I'm like, it wasn't nice.
No.
Like, it wasn't nice. It was real. But then also, she did often think she was in France, and I thought, that sounds nice.
Maybe she's on DMT.
Maybe she was. You know, like, that bit seemed really good. She definitely checked out. She was like, this is awful, so au revoir.
Did you sort of... Did you play up to the France thing at all?
The worst was me and my brother were just, you know, when they leave the kid, you know, the grandkids. So we were just like, okay. And then my uncle eventually came back in and we were like, she said she was in France. Like, we just didn't know. We just were like, let her stay there. Because, you know, she's 100.
She was babysitting you at 100?
No, sorry. That was in the nursing home.
Oh, okay.
You know, you get left in the room. They're like, you talk to your grandma. Like, she can't talk. And then they just, the adults, you still feel like you're a kid, you know. So, yeah. well, I mean, a lot of different ways to go. We don't have a super long left, but I just wondered if anybody had a question. It doesn't have to be funeral based. It can be griefcast based or anything at all. Does anyone have a question? This lady here in the lovely dungarees. Thank you.
What would your last song be?
Oh.
Or sorry, not your last song, your songs at your funeral.
Oh.
And your last words while you're at it.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Oh!
No, I have. I'd be busting out a bit of Joni Mitchell. Definitely. Oh, come on, you fuckers. Why does no one know? Joni Mitchell. Don't get me started on Joni Mitchell.
Like, Joni Mitchell will be at the Afterlife Festival.
I get really upset because I think Joni Mitchell should be held in the same way as Bob Dylan, but because she was a woman, people always act like, oh, she just did some Moni Tunes. Like, you want to talk about fucking Moni Tunes? Fucking Bob Dylan, and I'm a fan. I crack open any track from Blue, you know, because you could go from, it's her album, because you could do Case of You and get everyone crying, and then you could do Carrie, which would like get everyone up again, and then you could do Blue and everyone's like preparing to kill themselves. But I would not do The Last Time I Saw Richard Was in Detroit, because nope, that's Joni, we didn't need the extra track. You have to be, this is really niche material, but if you like Blue, you know what I'm talking about. Thanks. I'm surprised there's not more of you in. That's my demographic. Last words, again, like, because I actually don't believe in them, because I've seen too many people die, and they, like you said, they don't get last words. It's like this Hollywood moment of like, so I found this one, which was by Voltaire, which I thought was like, oh, what a quip. Which was, someone said to ask him to renounce Satan, and he said, now is not the time to be making new enemies. And I was like, yeah, great. But he did not say that. You know, like, he didn't say that. His friends got together afterwards and were like, come on, we got to think of something. Like, you know, like a writer's room.
Workshop something.
Yeah, he's so clever. Let's, you know, let's give him something. Yeah, I hope that's... There was a question over here. Yes.
I've never asked to ask a question in a podcast before, but this podcast means a lot to me. My father died very suddenly when I was 18 at home. And I think something that's come out is obviously the music side of things for everybody from different kind of from ways. But my dad was a blues guitarist.
Oh, wow.
And so the... So blues was obviously a huge part of my life from very young, and I have kind of pushed that side of my life out very much as an adult because it was too painful.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wondered, I suppose it's a thing of, you know, when you associate one thing particularly with someone that you care about so much,
yeah,
and they're not there, and so maybe you push that away from you, and then trying to move back to that and recapture that with, you know, the sadness, but also rediscovering the love of it. And I just wondered if any of you have been through that, I suppose, with anyone. It might not even be death, but it might be something, someone that's moved away from you or that you've lost that.
Yeah, this becomes painful.
Well, it's interesting because I mentioned the Frank Zappa song, and like there was... I was so glad that that song got chosen because it's quite an obscure track. So I've joked about on the show before, like, I never had to, you know, like, if you do choose a Whitney song, all your friends and family will eventually be in Zara and be like, oh God, the greatest. Like, so it's quite nice to choose something obscure because it like never really, like, I think it came up on a shop once and I was like absolutely floored because I was just like, what the fuck? They're fucking playing Peaches and Garlic. Like, this is not okay. And it's... Yeah, I've tried to like, I mean, I only have like, I feel for you because I've got a song, you've got a fucking genre of music. Plus it's a really nice genre of music that's really like cool to listen to. So yeah, I feel for you. I've just tried to like let it in very lightly. So I even did a show and they had people choosing tracks that meant something to them. And I chose the track. And then I had to sit in Wilton's music hall with it being blared out. And I was like, why have I done this to myself? But obviously, why do I do the podcast? I like pushing it. And I found that really, I almost found it really helpful to put, like, be forced into listening to it. Because I think the fear is worse. So the fear that if you hear it, it's going to be awful and it'll be so painful. And actually, as all things, like, the more you do it, the less painful it becomes because it just becomes less shocking. And I think the more you push it out, the more it has the power to hurt, you know, because then you're like, oh, I haven't heard it for so long. But it took me, it took me a long time. And now I can listen to it and it's not, I still would never be like, I'm going to pop it on. But when I hear it, it's not quite so bad. So I think if you can, if there's blues that maybe he didn't, you know, he didn't directly like that blues person, so you could like ease your way in, like blues light, like one that was a bit more easy to listen to. And I would also say, like, don't, it's the thing that we're talking about of like laughter and pain, like, it's maybe you just need to have it and feel really shit and cry and feel fucking awful and then come through it. I'd have something ready though. I'd have like S Club 7 ready, like, to like wash your brain of it. If you're like, this is too much, like something you can put on straight away that's like nothing to do with him. Anyone else have any music thoughts?
I have there's a Broken Social Scene song called Suns and Stars that I weirdly listened to a lot when I got divorced. I've been married twice. Thanks. It's just the song when I know that I've like not expressed emotion and I need to, I just put it on and I just start crying. Yeah. I like using it as a tool to make myself feel emotion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we're talking about. It's like, it's okay. I know it feels fucking awful.
I think it's part of the process that initially you can't even listen to some songs that might remind you of a loss of a loved one or even loss of love or heartbreak. And then you can listen back and it starts becoming nostalgic and I think it's a lot easier to listen to. And I think an even nice way to rationalize like what's obviously a tragedy is the fact that if your dad's committed songs to like Wax, then like even scientifically, like transverse waves never dissipate, so they're going into space. So means his voice would exist forever and continue to move into infinity and stuff as well. So that's some people are just experiencing hearing your dad for the first time. So, like, yeah. He's never. So I'm saying as an artist.
We don't need Whitney to start crying. We've got Dave.
Yeah, but I'm saying, especially when, you know, I guess it's one of the good things about having an artist who's created something that's transcended their form is that it's always going to be there. So, you know, if that helps, because that's how I always think of things as well. If you've lost somebody, is that if they've committed something to, like, you know, a transverse wave, that's going to be around forever. So.
Yeah, that deserves an applause. That's okay. Thank you so much for coming to listen to chats about death. I know that if you told your friends tonight where you're going, perhaps some of them were confused. But I appreciate it so much. And thank you for listening to the podcast. And please, will you give a huge round of applause to our amazing guests, Diane Baptiste, Erin Gibson, and Andrew Hunter-Murray. Amazing. Please give yourselves a round of applause for this amazing audience. Thank you so much. I've been Carrie Adloyd. Thank you. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Andrew Hunter M and listen to No Such Things as Fish from where you get your podcasts, or even see them live on tour. They're currently touring the UK. You can follow Erin on Instagram at Gibblatron. Just type in Erin Gibson, she should come up. And she has a book coming out very soon called Feminasty, which is hilarious and well worth a pre-order. You can follow Dane on Twitter at DaneBapTweets, and he's also currently touring around the UK and hosting Live at the Apollo on iPlayer as well. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TheGriefCast or email us thegriefcast@gmail.com. If you enjoy the show, please do rate and review it on iTunes and subscribe as well so you never miss an episode. The show was edited by Kate Holland with thanks to Whistledown Studios, and the music was provided by the Glue Ensemble. And remember, you are not alone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.